Welcome back to Meteorology Matters, everybody. We have got some serious weather brewing this week, and we're talking a massive multi-day severe weather event with a huge chunk of the U.S. in its sights, over 150 million people. And this isn't your average spring storm, folks. We're talking about possible long-tracked, intense tornadoes, winds topping 100 miles per hour, hails the size of baseballs, really the whole shebang. And if you want to stay up to date on all things weather, don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones. You can find him on Instagram at Meteorologist, catch his quick takes on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, or delves deeper into hurricane happenings on YouTube at Rob Jones the Hurricane. That's also where you'll find the Meteorology Matters playlist, so you never miss an episode.
And I'm here to help us navigate this meteorological mayhem. You know what makes this storm so concerning is that the National Oceanic Atmosphere Administration's Storm Prediction Center has issued some of its highest level severe weather risk warnings. We're even looking at a rare high risk level 5 out of 5. Only the second time in their history they've issued one for tomorrow.
Okay, so this is the real deal, not just a run-of-the-mill storm.
Yeah.
Let's break it down. Where is this system headed, and what kind of impact are we looking at over the next few days?
Well, this system is set to impact a large swath of the country, but let's start with Friday evening. The heartland places like Missouri and Iowa will be the first to see action. Imagine a powerful line of storms packing hail-damaging winds and even a few tornadoes.
So it kicks off in the heartland, then what? Does this line just keep moving eastward?
Yeah, you got it. It'll charge through the Mississippi Valley overnight, setting the stage for what could be a very intense Saturday.
Saturday sounds like the day to really watch out for, that.
It is. As the system moves east on Saturday, it's expected to intensify significantly. We're looking at a potential tornado outbreak across the central Gulf Coast states and the deep south extending into the Tennessee Valley. And we're not talking about just any tornadoes. We could see significant long-track tornadoes with the potential to cause major damage.
Okay, long-track tornadoes. So these aren't just quick spin-ups. They can stay on the ground for a while, increasing the potential for destruction. Are there any specific areas that are particularly at risk on Saturday?
Yes. Unfortunately, some major cities are right in the path of this high-risk zone. Think Birmingham, Jackson, Tuscaloosa, Hoover in Alabama, Hattiesburg in Mississippi. They need to be on high alert.
So Saturday is definitely a day to be extra vigilant for those folks. Then what? Does the system finally start to wind down on Sunday?
Well, it does move on, but not without impacting the East Coast Sunday. That storm system continues east, hitting the entire I-95 corridor from Florida all the way up to the Northeast.
So the whole East Coast is in play on Sunday. What should folks be prepared for in that region?
While tornadoes are still possible, especially along the Virginia coast and into the Carolinas, the focus shifts a bit on Sunday. The main threats become those damaging winds and hail we talked about earlier.
Okay, so this storm is really packing a 1-2 punch, or maybe a 1-2-3 punch with the hail. We've heard you mention 100-mile-per-hour winds, which sounds terrifying enough on its own, but let's unpack the specific dangers of each of these threats. What kind of damage can those winds really do? We're not talking just a few downed branches here, are we?
Not at all. These winds have the force to snap power lines, uproot trees, send debris flying. Think about weak roofs, poorly constructed buildings. They could be in real danger.
It's unsettling to think those kinds of winds can be as destructive as a tornado. And speaking of destruction, what about that baseball-sized hail you mentioned? I can't imagine that's something you want to get caught in.
You definitely don't. Hail that big can dent cars, shatter windows, and even damage roofs. Imagine those hailstones pelting down at high speeds. It's a recipe for disaster, particularly for agriculture and crops.
Okay, wind hail. But let's be honest. When most people think about severe weather, what's the first thing that pops into their minds?
Tornadoes, without a doubt.
Exactly. And you mentioned the possibility of these long-track tornadoes. Can you remind our listeners about the difference between a tornado watch and a tornado warning? It's important to know what to do when you hear those terms.
Absolutely. A tornado watch means conditions are favorable for tornadoes to form. So be prepared, know where your safe place is. But a tornado warning means a tornado has actually been sighted or indicated on radar. That's when you need to take immediate action and seek shelter.
Right. A watch is like a heads up, but a warning means it's time to take cover immediately.
Exactly. And if a tornado is heading your way, an interior room on the lowest level of your home is your best bet. Stay away from windows and exterior walls.
You know, you mentioned flooding earlier, and while it might not be the main story with the storm system, it's still a serious threat that we shouldn't overlook.
You're right. Heavy rain is expected with the system, and that always raises the risk of flooding, especially in areas with poor drainage or near rivers and streams.
So even though we're focusing on wind, hail, and tornadoes, folks, don't let your guard down when it comes to flooding. All right, we've talked about the timeline and the potential impacts, but can we get even more specific about the areas to watch? I know you mentioned a few cities, but what states are really in the crosshairs each day?
Well, on Friday, as we said, the focus is on the Heartland, Missouri, Iowa, those areas. Then, as the system moves east, Saturday becomes the day of highest concern. That's when the central Gulf Coast states and the Deep South are most at risk. We're talking Alabama, Mississippi, parts of Tennessee, even dipping into Louisiana and Georgia.
And you mentioned those major cities earlier, like Birmingham and Jackson.
Yes, unfortunately, they're right in the thick of that high-risk area.
And then Sunday.
By Sunday, the threat shifts to the East Coast, impacting the entire I-95 corridor. So Florida to Georgia, the Carolinas, all the way up to the Northeast will need to be prepared.
Wow, so this system is really making a cross-country trek. Are there any specific geographical features in the path of this storm that could make this situation even more volatile? I'm thinking about how mountains or valleys can influence weather patterns.
That's an excellent question. Take the Mississippi River Valley, for example. It acts as a natural funnel for moisture. And that moisture fuels these storm systems, potentially making them even more powerful and destructive.
So it's not just about the flat terrain, but the geography of the river system plays a role too. Fascinating.
Exactly. Geography can significantly influence how these storms develop and where they track.
Okay, so we've covered the what, the where, and the when. Now let's talk about the most important part, staying safe. We can't stress this enough. Heed those warnings, folks. This is serious stuff.
Absolutely. And preparedness is key. Before the storm hits, make sure you have an emergency kit ready to go. Water, non-perishable food, flashlights, batteries.
A first aid kit, medications, important documents.
Yes. Have a plan in place for your family and pets. Know where your safe place is in your home and practice getting there quickly.
These are simple things, but they can truly be life-saving in a severe weather event.
Absolutely. And stay informed. Monitor weather reports, have a NOAA weather radio handy, and make sure your phone is charged and you're signed up for wireless emergency alerts.
You know, as we're talking about all this, I keep thinking about those stories we've read about the destructive power of these types of storms. The images are haunting.
I agree. They really highlight the force of nature we're dealing with.
I was particularly struck by the account of that shopping center collapsing in Trenton, Missouri, because of the wind. Can you imagine going about your day and suddenly the roof is ripped off? It's a stark reminder of how quickly things can turn dangerous. And those images of overturned semis on the highways, it's mind-boggling how wind can toss a massive truck like it's a toy.
It really puts the power of these storms into perspective.
And those power outages, reading about entire communities plunged into darkness, sometimes for days, really drives home the disruption these storms can cause. It can feel like life just comes to a standstill.
It's true. These storms can have a cascading impact, affecting everything from transportation to communication to basic necessities.
It's clear this is an event we all need to take seriously. So let's talk about why this particular storm system is so powerful. What's going on in the atmosphere to create such a wide range of threats? Is this just a random occurrence, or is there something bigger at play here?
It's definitely not random. This storm is fueled by a perfect mix of atmospheric ingredients. We have a strong low-pressure system moving across the country, drawing in warm, moist air from the Gulf of Mexico and clashing it with cold, dry air from the north.
So it's like a battleground of air masses.
Exactly. And when these air masses collide, it creates instability in the atmosphere, leading to the formation of those powerful thunderstorms we've been talking about.
And within those thunderstorms, you have the potential for all those different hazards, the tornadoes, the hail, the wind.
Precisely, wind shear, which is the change in wind speed and direction with height, plays a crucial role in this process.
Okay, wind shear. I've heard that term before, but I'm not sure I fully understand what it means or how it contributes to severe weather. Can you break it down for us?
Imagine a layer cake of wind, with each layer moving at a different speed and direction. That's essentially what wind shear is.
Interesting. So how does this wind cake, as you put it, contribute to severe weather?
Well, as those different layers of wind interact, they can cause the air within a thunderstorm to start rotating horizontally.
So it's like those winds are whipping up the thunderstorm, creating a spin.
Exactly. And as that horizontal rotation gets tilted upward by updrafts within the storm,
Updrafts.
think of updrafts like powerful elevators within the storm pulling warm, moist air up into the cloud.
Okay.
As those updrafts lift the rotating air, it can become the starting point for a tornado.
So the wind shear provides the initial spin, and the updrafts lift it up like a figure skater pulling their arms in for a faster spin.
That's a great analogy. And the stronger the wind shear, the faster those winds are changing with height, the more potential there is for violent tornadoes.
Wow. So it's like Wind shear is a key ingredient in this severe weather recipe. It takes a regular thunderstorm and turns it into a potential tornado factory. And you're saying we have particularly strong wind shear with this storm system.
We do. It's the kind of wind shear that makes meteorologists pay close attention and the kind that should make everyone in the path of the storm be extra vigilant.
Okay, so we've got this powerful storm system fueled by wind shear moisture and clashing air masses. But then there's this looming question of climate change, which always seems to come up when we talk about extreme weather events. It's hard to ignore when we're seeing more and more of these intense storms happening.
It's a crucial piece of the conversation. While we can't definitively say that climate change caused this specific storm, we know that a warming climate is increasing the likelihood of more extreme weather events in general.
So it's less about a direct cause and effect and more about climate change loading the dice, so to speak, making these kinds of events more likely.
That's a good way to put it. Think of it like this. Imagine a baseball player on steroids. The steroids don't guarantee that the player will hit a home run every time they're at bat.
But they do increase the odds of hitting it further.
Exactly. And that's kind of what climate change is doing with extreme weather. It's tilting the odds in favor of more intense storms, heavier rainfall, and more severe droughts.
So in a sense, climate change is acting like those steroids for our weather patterns, amplifying the extremes.
That's a good way to think about it. And with severe weather events, even a small increase in intensity or frequency can have significant consequences.
It's like turning up the volume on a speaker. Even a small increase can make a big difference in how it sounds.
Exactly. A small increase in temperature can lead to a much greater increase in atmospheric moisture, which can fuel more powerful storms. And with sea levels rising, coastal areas are even more vulnerable to the impacts of those storms, like storm surge and flooding.
So we're not just talking about more storms, but potentially stronger, more destructive storms as well.
Right. And that's why understanding the connection between climate change and extreme weather is so important. It's not just an abstract concept. It's impacting our lives here and now, and it's going to continue to do so in the future.
So what can we do about it? It can feel pretty overwhelming to think about tackling something as big as climate change.
I understand that feeling. It's a global issue that requires a collective effort. But that doesn't mean individual actions are meaningless. Every bit counts.
So what are some things we could do both individually and as a society to try to mitigate the impacts of climate change and build resilience against these extreme weather events?
Well, on an individual level, reducing our carbon footprint is key. That means things like driving less, using energy-efficient appliances, and supporting renewable energy sources.
And making sustainable choices in our daily lives, right? Like reducing our consumption, recycling, and being mindful of the products we buy.
Exactly. But individual actions can only take us so far. We need systemic change, which means advocating for policies that promote clean energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and invest in climate adaptation and resilience.
So things like carbon pricing, investing in public transportation, and making our infrastructure more resilient to extreme weather events.
Right. It's about creating a world where sustainability is not just an option. It's the norm.
You know, it's interesting to think about how this storm system we're discussing is almost like a microcosm of the larger climate change issue. The complex event with multiple factors contributing to its intensity, and it's impacting millions of people across a vast area.
I see the connection. And just like with this storm, we need to be prepared, informed, and ready to act to mitigate the impacts of climate change. We'll be right back with more Meteorology Matters.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters.
We're picking up right where we left off, folks, with this monster storm system barreling across the country. You know, the more we delve into the science behind this thing, the more it becomes clear that we're dealing with a meteorological masterpiece, albeit a dangerous one.
Yeah. It is fascinating, isn't it, to see how all these atmospheric forces come together to create such a powerful and complex event? It's like a delicate dance, except instead of graceful moves, you have clashing air masses, swirling winds, and unfortunately, the potential for destruction. Before the break, we talked about how this storm is fueled by a perfect mix of ingredients, a strong low-pressure system, warm, moist air from the Gulf, or cold, dry air from the north, and that all-important wind shear. Let's go back for a second and unpack that wind shear concept a bit more. I'm still a little fuzzy in exactly how it contributes to the formation of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes.
Sure, wind shear is a bit of a tricky concept to grasp, but it's really the key to understanding why some storms become so severe. To visualize it, imagine a layer cake of wind with each layer moving at a different speed and direction.
Okay, I'm picturing it. So how does this wind cake, if you will, contribute to severe weather? What's the connection?
Well, as those different layers of wind interact, they can cause the air within a thunderstorm to start rotating horizontally. Think of it like a spinning top.
So it's like those winds are whipping up the thunderstorm, creating that initial spin.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then those powerful updrafts we talked about, those elevators of warm, moist air within the stormlet, that rotating air upward, and just like a figure skater pulling their arms in for a faster spin, that upward lift intensifies the rotation.
So the wind shear provides the initial spin, and the updrafts take it to the next level, potentially turning that rotation into a full-blown tornado. So it's really the combination of wind shear and updrafts that makes a storm ripe for tornado development.
You got it. And with this particular storm system, we have a very favorable environment for strong wind shear, which is why the tornado threat is so high.
This isn't just any old wind shear, then. We're talking about the premium extra strength kind, right?
Yeah.
The kind that gets meteorologists like you really concerned.
Yeah, it is. It's the kind of wind shear that makes us sit up and take notice, and the kind that should make everyone in the path of this storm take extra precautions.
It's incredible to think that all this is happening miles above us, invisible to the naked eye. It's a whole other world up there in the atmosphere, full of these powerful forces at play.
It really is, and that's what makes studying weather so captivating. It's like piecing together a giant puzzle using all the data we have from radar satellites, weather balloons, and surface observations to try to understand and predict what these forces will do next.
And one of the pieces of that puzzle that keeps coming up, especially when we're talking about events like this one, is climate change. We talked earlier about how it's difficult to directly link any single weather event to climate change, but it's hard to ignore the trend of increasingly intense storms. It feels like these extreme events are becoming more frequent and more severe. Is that just our perception, or is there real evidence to back that up?
It's not just perception. Scientists are observing a definite trend toward more extreme weather events, including more intense storms, heavier rainfall, and more severe droughts.
Right.
And while we can't say with absolute certainty that climate change caused this particular storm, we do know that a warming climate increases the likelihood of these types of events in general.
So it's less about a direct cause and effect, and more about climate change influencing the overall background conditions, making these extreme events more likely. Like you said earlier, it's like loading the dice.
Exactly. Think about it this way. If you roll a pair of dice, there's always a chance you'll roll double sixes. But if you load the dice, the odds of rolling double sixes go way up.
So climate change is loading the dice, making it more likely that we'll experience those double sixes of extreme weather.
Precisely. And even a small increase in the odds of extreme weather can have huge consequences, especially when you consider that we're talking about powerful forces of nature.
Right. Even a seemingly small shift in those odds can translate to a lot more damage, disruption, and unfortunately, even loss of life.
Yeah, it's a sobering thought and one that underscores the importance of understanding climate change and its impact on our world.
Absolutely. It feels like sometimes these big global issues can feel so overwhelming. But like you said earlier, we can all do our part to mitigate the effects. Can you remind us what some of those individual actions are? It's easy to feel helpless in the face of something as large as climate change, but I think it's important to remember that we're not powerless.
I completely agree. Individual actions may seem small, but they absolutely add up. And collectively, they send a powerful message. Simple things like reducing our reliance on cars, opting for energy-efficient appliances, and supporting renewable energy can make a real difference.
And making conscious choices in our daily lives, reducing consumption, recycling, and really thinking about the products we buy.
Yeah, you've got it. Every little bit helps. But to really tackle this issue, we need big systemic change as well. That means advocating for policies that promote clean energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and invest in making our communities more resilient to the impacts of climate change.
So things like carbon pricing, investing in public transportation, updating building codes to make structures more resistant to extreme weather, and improving early warning systems to give people more time to repair.
Exactly. It's about creating a future where sustainability isn't just a nice idea, it's built into the very fabric of our society.
It's fascinating to think about how this storm system we're discussing is almost like a microcosm of the larger climate change issue. We've got a complex event with multiple contributing factors impacting millions of people across a vast area. And just like with this storm, we need to be prepared, informed, and ready to act to address climate change and its impacts.
I couldn't agree more. We need to approach climate change with the same level of seriousness and urgency as we approach this storm. We need to heed the warnings, understand the risks, and take action to protect ourselves and our communities.
Well said. We'll be back shortly with more on Meteorology Matters. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into this major severe weather event. We've talked about the science behind it, the role of climate change. But now let's shift gears and focus on what you can do to stay safe. Knowledge is power, so let's empower ourselves with some actionable advice.
Absolutely. And it all starts with being weather aware. Stay informed about forecasts and warnings, and make sure you understand the difference between a watch and a warning.
Right, we touched on that earlier, but it's definitely worth repeating. A watch means the conditions are ripe for severe weather. So be alert and have a plan in place. But a warning means severe weather is happening now. It's time to take immediate action and seek shelter.
Right. And don't rely on just one source of information. Tune into your local news check weather apps, have a NOAA weather radio on hand, and make sure you're signed up for those wireless emergency alerts on your phone.
It's all about having multiple layers of information so you're not caught off guard. You can never be too prepared when it comes to severe weather. Speaking of preparedness, what are some practical things people can do to get ready for this storm or any severe weather event for that matter?
Having a plan is crucial. Know where your safe place is in your home. Ideally, that's an interior room on the lowest level, away from any windows.
And it's a good idea to practice getting to that safe place quickly, especially if you have kids or pets. Make it a family drill, just like you would for a fire drill.
Exactly. And of course, have an emergency kit ready to go. Water, non-perishable food, flashlights, batteries, first aid kit, any medications you need, important documents.
Don't forget a charger for your phone. It's easy to overlook that, but staying connected is so important during an emergency.
Absolutely. And if you live in a mobile home, it's especially crucial to know where the nearest sturdy shelter is and have a plan to get there quickly if a tornado warning is issued. Mobile homes are extremely vulnerable to high winds.
So we've covered the do's. What about the don'ts? What are some common misconceptions about severe weather safety that we should clear up?
One big one is the idea that you should open windows during a tornado to equalize pressure. That's a myth. Opening windows won't help, and it could actually make things worse by allowing debris to fly into your home.
And what about sheltering under an overpass? I've heard that's a bad idea too.
It's a terrible idea. Overpasses can actually create wind tunnels, making the wind speeds even more dangerous.
So the bottom line is stay indoors in your designated safe place and ride out the storm. Don't try to outrun it or seek shelter in a place that could actually put you at greater risk.
Right. And remember, even after the storm has passed, there are still hazards to be aware of. Downed power lines, flooded roads, debris. Stay alert and proceed with caution.
Okay, so we've talked about how individuals can prepare and stay safe, but what about on a larger scale? How can we build more resilient communities that can better withstand these severe weather events, especially as we face the growing threat of climate change?
That's a great question and a crucial one. Building community resilience involves a multifaceted approach. It starts with strengthening our infrastructure. We need building codes that can withstand stronger winds and heavier rainfall, improve drainage systems to reduce flooding, and we need to consider burying power lines to prevent those widespread outages.
Those are great ideas. But resilience also goes beyond physical infrastructure, right? It's about having robust early warning systems so people have ample time to prepare and seek shelter. And it's about strong communication networks so that information can flow quickly and efficiently during an emergency.
You're absolutely right. It's about creating a culture of preparedness where individuals and communities are empowered to take action to protect themselves and minimize the impact of these events.
It's about understanding that severe weather is a part of life, but that we can take steps to lessen its impact and build a more resilient future. You know, when we think back to that question we posed earlier about building resilience, it really strikes me that it's not just about physical infrastructure and emergency preparedness, it's also about community.
I couldn't agree more. It's about neighbors helping neighbors, checking in on the elderly and vulnerable, and working together to rebuild and recover after the storm has passed.
It's about having that sense of shared responsibility and support that helps communities get through tough times. Because ultimately, it's not just about surviving the storm, it's about thriving in its aftermath.
Beautifully said.
Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today in our discussion on this major severe weather event. We hope you found it informative and empowering. Remember, knowledge is power, and being prepared is the best way to stay safe during any severe weather event. And don't forget to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on social media for more weather insights. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube at Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters playlist.
Stay safe, everyone.
And until next time, remember, meteorology matters.